Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. My guest tonight is Sherry Davis, and I'm sure a lot of you know who she is, and hopefully we'll be talking to her in just a minute. Ringing. Okay, weird. She's not picking up.
Oh. Hello?
Sherry, this is Mac.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
Oh, I'm good. Oh, good. I'm glad you're doing good. And you can hear me okay, right?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, and I can hear you, so we should be on the air. And
okay.
I'm just gonna jump right in. So, when did you decide to start this journey into filmmaking?
Oh wow! Well, it's such an odd thing because I completely, unlike most people who worked at it or did theater, did productions in high school or college. This was not something I chose. It actually kind of chose me. I fell into this because my daughter was a child actor. And I was always sitting right outside of her acting class or in her class, taking her to different seminars with big acting coaches, things like that, on set with her, that kind of thing. And just got pulled in front of the camera on a TV show that there was an issue with the actress flying in from LA to Dallas, and they needed someone to step in and play her mom, and they asked me to do it, and I was terrified. And the director and producer were like, just don't look in the camera, don't look in the camera, we'll tell you what to do, And I was terrified, and we called her agent, and the next thing I know, first thing I do is a television show that was SAG. And being in Texas and being non-union, that was just unheard of, at the time. It wasn't something that happened that way. So, yeah, I fell into it, thought it was the weirdest thing for me. I was very self-conscious. And just kind of took off from there, Every time I was working crew or PAing or with my daughter, it was like, hey, you should act, You should do this. You should do that. You've got a great look, whatever. And I thought, well, if I'm going to keep getting asked to do this, I need to learn some things myself. So I started taking acting classes as well. I completely fell into it. Crazy. So crazy.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I mean, there have been a few that just fell into it. And some of the big name people fell into acting. So you're in good company.
Well, that's good. Good to hear. It's still a freaky thing that, to think all these years later how many things, how many films I've done and the auditions I go on, for major network things. And, it's really cool because it's me coming into – not a first, not a second, not a third, but, more like a fifth or sixth career for me because I've done so many things professionally. So, and coming into this a little bit later in the game than most people, it's been amazing to me that I've had the success that I've had a little later in life, and even more so than those people, who their whole lives knew they wanted to be an actor. Mm-hmm. and that aspect, I'm kind of like, I feel bad because they worked so hard at it, but yet it's something, and I do work very, very hard at it, and I work very hard at, networking and developing friendships and relationships with others in this business. In that sense, I kind of feel bad, for those people that, like moved to LA and gave everything up, and even gave up families, you know, in some instances to go for their dream. And here I am, just completely fell into it. And, you know, it's working pretty well for me, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and there's really nothing to feel guilty about. I mean, yeah, you may have fell into it, but if you fall into something and you're not any good, they're not going to keep wanting you to be in their stuff. They're going to stop asking you. So if they keep asking you, you're doing something right.
Well, I guess so. That's one way to look at it.
Now, you've had many jobs in filmmaking, including but not limited to actress, producer, director, writer, makeup, stunts, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have a favorite filmmaking hat? And which do you find the most challenging?
I love acting. Acting is the thing that I also find the most challenging because, again, being a person that is very self-conscious, and as much as people don't believe it, I am very shy. So I think acting is the thing I loved first in this business and the most challenging. But the direction I'm going now is really in the director's chair. I feel like that's the thing I love maybe even more than acting because it comes pretty natural for me with life experience, with being manager in different businesses and owners of businesses and things like that. Just, you know, building that team and taking that from a script onto a screen is just something mm-hmm. that feels very, very natural to me. And also being an actor as well, you know, being able to direct the actors where I feel like other directors didn't do for me, you know, like really being an actor's director. And then to add to that, producing has been the most natural thing for me for the same reason, because it's basically, I have so much, you know, being a nurse and being, you know, a manager or a director of nursing, things like that, it's taking and building a team or putting a project together and seeing it through till the end, you know. So really producing mm-hmm. is so much work. I feel like it's the most work of all of those jobs. I really do. And, you know, there are different producers. I tell people, you know, when people ask me to produce, I'm like, okay, you know, we have a wide range of different producers. Some come in with money, some come in to do this job or that job or help with distribution or whatever. And so I always, you know, clarify in what aspect do you want me to be a producer if I come involved as a producer. But for me, on my own, you know, personal projects as a producer, I start from the script and see it all the way through to the end to distribution. You know, so that to me has been the most natural, but, and, you know, I definitely have had to learn a lot along the way, especially, you know, with distribution, VOD, you know, things like that. So, directing the way I'm headed, but acting is, I love it. And I find it very challenging. It's something I have to definitely work at, I think, more so than others.
Yeah, that's interesting that your favorite is also the most challenging. It's not unheard of, though, but it is interesting.
Right, yeah. I think it's, you know, it's how much goes into acting that, for me, maybe for others, it's just so, so natural, or they've got, you know, fabulous memorization skills or whatever. For me, the challenging part is not becoming the character or taking direction. Those are my strengths. But the line memorization, because I do wear so many hats, you know, being disciplined enough to say, okay, shut all of those other things down and just sit down and work on, you know, your line memorization or, you know, really getting into that character. So I think because I do so many things in my life that it, you know, that's why it's so challenging for me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, everybody's got their own strengths and their own weaknesses. Nobody's the same. I mean, I used to be in a drama club in, you know, in school, and I did a few plays. And then even after I got out of school, I did some local stuff. And now me, the memorization, that's no problem at all. As a matter of fact, when I memorize a play, I memorize the entire play. And when I say entire, I mean the entire thing. Like, even when it where it says lead in or fade to black, I have that all up there in my head. That's the way my head works. I remember everything. And that's one reason why when I was younger, even when I was like 7 and I was in the drama club, and they started putting me in the role of onstage prompter because so many of those kids were forgetting their lines, and then a lot of them couldn't hear the people off in the wings trying to tell them their lines, and so I was telling them, and nobody could hear me telling them. And so they decided to just make that a job. And so I became the onstage prompter. And then later I was director because it just worked better for me. It's like, okay, I know how I want this to go. And especially when I wrote the play. If I wrote the play, I think I should direct it. But that's me.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the struggles, you know, with indie filmmakers is, you know, some of them are amazing writers, but they don't know how to actually make it into a film. So I can't imagine, you know, writing something and then handing it over to someone else. And and I can say personally, you know, like I optioned a script recently that I absolutely love the script. And, you know, a little later on, the person, you know, kind of was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I can't even understand because, you know, you wrote this. So this is your baby. So, you know, if you're having second thoughts, let's go ahead and let's, you know, tear up the contract, you know. And but you know, ultimately, like he said, you know, you're gonna probably be able to do more with it than I would ever be able to do. So I'm just going to have to, you know, go this route. So, yeah, I can't imagine, like, writing a script and then just handing it over, you know, to somebody. So I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but then there's other people that they can't see themselves writing and then directing it. They're like, okay, here's my thing. You direct it. Cause I know people like that. Just like I know ones that's all they want to do is act. They don't want to do anything else. Then I have other friends that they want to do it all as much as they can. And, you know, everybody's different. I'm one of those ones that I'll do as much as I can. I would rather, like, do everything. I'm just one of those people.
Yeah, you know, I've been one of those people previously, and even though I do a lot of things, I'm really not so much now because what I learned in the entertainment business doing this was doing too many jobs on a production affected my performance at each job task. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I kind of stopped, I regrouped, I took a little bit of a break, when I moved out here and kind of thought about what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do. And after kind of being screwed over so much as a producer, I decided, you know, to step back and stop producing people's projects for quite a while.
Right.
But again, that being something that came so natural to me, even though it's very time consuming, it wasn't something I wanted to totally give up. So basically where I'm at now is I lay very strict, you know, foundation of like what I will and will not do if I am brought in as a producer. And the other thing I, you know, learned in the beginning, which is something that still bites a lot of us in the butt, is that getting our contracts in place appropriately, you know, because so many people love doing it and they get excited and they get passionate about it and they don't get the contracts in place. And then there are, you know, problems later for that reason. So I've definitely learned a lot and I've changed, you know, my strategy. And I'm definitely like you, I'm a yes person and I want to do it all. but I've learned that my acting, you know, was big time. The fact, like, I knew that I wasn't as prepared as I should have been with my acting, perhaps, or I couldn't produce, you know, 100% like I should have, because I was split between acting and casting and producing and, you know, whatever. So I've just kind of learned to say no, first of all, and be very, very upfront about what I will do and what I will not do as far as, you know,
right,
the other job descriptions outside of acting, if I'm wearing more than one hat on a project, which I try not to do too much anymore. I do a little bit. I have a couple upcoming, and two of the three of those I've worked with the some of the cast and crew before and the director, so I'm comfortable doing that. But it's just very much laying that what I will do and what I won't do.
Right. Well, you know your own strengths. And you know your own weaknesses, and you know how many things you can do at a time before one of the things suffer a little bit because you're doing too much. You know, everybody's different, and you know what yours is, so yeah, you go with it. I understand that totally.
Exactly.
Now, getting into some of your films, your first acting credit on IMDb, anyway, was Olympus Has Fallen in 2013. So tell us about working on that.
That was the thing that actually, even though I'm uncredited, that was the thing that really made me know wholeheartedly that I wanted to act. I spent so many days on that, I was blown away. You know, Antoine Fuqua, Dylan McDermott, you know, we had Morgan Freeman. I mean, getting to see all of those people day in and day out, you know, Aaron Eckhart was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It really, you know, and I played a doctor in the ER, and, you know, I did have lines. They got cut. They didn't make it in the movie. But the experience itself was, to this day, one of the most amazing experiences in my life. It really, really was life-changing for me. I was brought on kind of as background and as a, like, consultant in the medical scenes. You know, I was kind of like, after the explosion, I was like hooking up the IVs, and we had amputees, and I was kind of setting everything up and walking through the pace with a couple of paramedics. We were going through, like, you know, with the director and the AD, kind of how things would actually look, how they would be in real life, that kind of thing. And so that was really, really cool that, you know, I went from, you know, background to consultant to actually having a small role. So with, you know, one of the stars of it, you know, with Raja, I can't ever say her name, Raja Mitchell, and I'm sorry if I've messed up her name terribly, but, you know, it was really, really cool. And again, you know, it's one of those things that happens with acting, and I didn't know it as much then, you know, because I've done things that didn't make it to the final cut. And, you know, I don't take any of those things personally because I know how it works. And
There's
just so much footage, and they have to piece through what is relevant and what is not relevant to the story. And especially when you're doing a movie that has so much action in it, like that does, like, you know, so it was a great experience. I learned so much on that movie. I met so many amazing people. And again, you know, even though it's not something I get big credit for, and, you know, I look like a featured background actor in it, it really, really was life changing for me. So I look back at that very, very fondly.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad that it was so ended up so good for you, even though you ended up on the cutting room floor, as they say.
Yeah. I have zero regrets, because that was the thing that I made connections, and it opened up doors for me as well. It was absolutely wonderful. It really was.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad. Now, the next one I want to go, we're just going to go over, like, a couple of the older ones, and then we'll get into some of the new ones, since you have so many. And then if we have time, we'll go back to some more old ones.
Okay.
The one that I wanted to make sure to go over was in 2017, Hair of the Dog, and it was a short, and you were the casting director, executive producer, actress, special makeup effects artist, the production manager, and it was your directing debut, as far as I know. So you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
But no, okay. So I want you to talk about that one, because that one sounds like that was a really good experience for you, and I hope it was.
Right. So basically, you know, I knew not long after I started doing this crazy business, I knew that I wanted to direct. I knew watching other directors, I already felt like I knew so much more than them. And I honestly, not to be conceited, but I really just felt like I could do a much better job communicating with every, you know, with the crew, with the cast. And I just, you know, I felt like there were directors I had worked with who were just, basically, they weren't directing. You know what I'm saying? They were there to get the title of director only and not really do the work. You know, I would say, you know, did you do your shot list? Did you work with your cinematographer? Did y'all work together on it, you know? Or as an actor, you know, just sitting there and getting, like, no direction, like, you know, blocking or where's my eye line or things like that. Knew I wanted to direct. And it was a matter of, I needed a script because I didn't want to write it, but I needed a script that was not horror. Since I was getting known in the horror genre, I wanted something people didn't expect me to do for my you know, directorial debut. So I had a friend that I had met through other actors who had written on another project, and we got to be friends. And I kind of told him what I was wanting, and he was like, and he doesn't live here. He's not really in the business. And he goes, I have all these scripts. And I said, well, I'm not ready to take on a feature. I just want to do a short. But my goal is to shoot something before I move to Los Angeles and to shoot it with all Texas cast and crew. So I kind of told him an idea, you know, an idea for a script. And he said, oh, my gosh, I have a script that I've had for years and years. I've never even thought about again. He goes, let me pull it up. And he pulled it up, and we worked back and forth on it. And we expanded it, and we changed so much about it. And that became Hair of the Dog. And so I basically did everything on the thing except for shoot it and edit it. And I did sit through editing the entire – I did sit through the editing process because – at the time, my boyfriend of many years was my editor. So I did sit through all the editing process, and I didn't know all the lingo. I didn't know how to express things, but I knew how, you know, the proper terminology for, hey, I want to do this and I want to do that. So when I hired my crew, I told every single person, I was like, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the proper term for this or the proper lens for this, but I can tell you what I want. And I am a first-time director, and I really want to hire a crew that I know I can trust, you know, that's not going to think I'm an idiot if I don't know how to do something. But I want someone that, you know, feels passionate about this script and is going to be supportive, and that I can trust your expertise and say to you, this is what I want, but I don't know how to execute it. Can you tell me how we go about doing that? And so that was how I put my crew together. And I had an amazing cinematographer, and he and his brother were very young filmmakers. They were in their 20s. His brother was the first AC, and he was my DP. And then I just had, you know, rock star crew that each person I hired had worked on some really amazing projects. You know, television, bigger movies, that kind of thing. And then I had a really, really good friend, Alex Nego, who, you know, said, hey, shoot at my house. You know, so I used his house, and he helped me. He PA'd for me, and to this day, he's a dear, dear friend. And he was like my right-hand person through the whole thing. Just my crew, I still get, like, choked up because they, you know, I had Todd Terry, who is now in Vindication, the series, and, you know, he had been in Breaking Bad, and he had been, you know, in Walker, Texas Ranger, and he's, you know, he's a veteran to acting, and he was just amazing. And then my friend Glenn Turney, who, you know, played this alcoholic, you know, woman beater, who is a very strong Christian man who does not drink, who does not cuss, who stepped into this lead role and just blew it out of the water, you know. And then the little girl that, you know, played my daughter in it, you know, that I've worked with her several times, and her mother has become one of my good friends as well. And it was just every single person involved was so kind and so passionate about it and so supportive of me, and, you know, and donated their time even. And I tell people, they literally, when I went to pay people, with the exception of, you know, some of my crew, they wouldn't even take my money when I went to write checks. They were like, no, it's no good. This is for you, you know. And then lo and behold, I think I have 13 awards on IMDb for it, but altogether, I think I won about the, I think if you transpose that, I think we won about 31 awards for that.
Wow.
From Best Film to Audience Choice Award, I won Best Director. I won Best Actress. You know, Glenn won Best Actor. Todd Terry won Best Supporting Actor numerous times. I mean, we won so many awards for that. So it just was, I learned so much. And as you can hear with me rambling, I'm still really, really proud of my first effort as a director. You know, I'm glad that I experienced it with the people that I did, and that it got, you know, the praise that it did. And I never submitted. I didn't really know anything about film festivals. I kind of, you know, I had connections at like one film festival, and that was it. And the others were just random submissions. And I really didn't feel like I submitted it in that many. But it got in, I would say we got in 90 to 95% of the film festivals I submitted to. So, you know, as my manager said, you know, he said, you know, Sherry, that's unheard of. You know, he's like, for someone to just come out of the gate and do that. And I just, like I said, I just was kind of clicking, going, okay, I'm going to submit to this one. I'm going to submit to that one. So these were film festivals that I knew no one, you know, because this was a new thing for me going through the film festivals. And then again, also because it wasn't true horror, it was, or not what most people perceive horror to be. It was dealing with very serious issues of, you know, alcoholism and domestic violence. So for it to be such a serious subject matter, and then throw a little twist, you know, it's more like psychological thriller, horror, suspense. It's a little bit of everything, drama. For it to have played in so many different type of festivals with that subject matter just really blew me away, because I would be like, no, it's not horror. We're not putting it in that. And they would be like, just submit. We want to see it. And then the next thing I know, you know, it's in there, because, you know, if you look up the true definition of horror, it does kind of fit it. You know, we just think of horror with, you know, creatures and monsters and, you know, blood and guts. And, you know, we think of horror, I think, a lot more in this age, in a different sense, versus those things that are just disturbing, like Hair of the Dog is.
Right. Well, yeah, because horror actually has a very wide berth when it comes to making the films, because there are so many types of horror. Lots of things can be horrifying, like if you are a drunk, and I have family members that are alcoholics, waking up somewhere and you can't remember how you got there, that's horrifying.
Right.
It's not a slasher thing, no, but not all slashers are horrors, and not all horrors are slashers. That's the way I look at it.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, it, you know, and then again, you know, to have had a child and a baby in it as well was, you know, pretty intense, too. And then a really interesting little fact was, you know, we were filming in Texas during a storm, and a tornado hit about, I think, 10 miles away from us while we were filming, because it was literally rain and lightning and everything that, you know, we put into the film that was done in post was actually happening while we were filming.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty crazy. It was just, yeah, it was just really, really crazy.
Oh, wow.
Well,
I'm just so... Yeah, try Ohio. Ohio, and of course this is true in many other states as well, but it's a really old saying here. If you don't like the weather in Ohio, just wait a minute or two. It'll change. And that is basically true. Because it can be 20 degrees in the afternoon and then be hot at night, or hot during the day and cold at night. And what's really weird is when it's cold during the day, but then it's hot at night. But it does that a lot here. It's very odd here. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Texas is the same. We say the exact same thing there. Yeah, I don't miss that weather. I don't miss that at all. I'll stick to California.
I have a friend that lives in Texas. Now, I know not all Texans have the same experience weather-wise, but she had never seen snow at all. And which a lot of Texans have that they've never seen snow, because I know a lot of people in Texas and they've never seen snow. But this particular one, she was on my show and she was talking about how she had never seen snow, and so when she got to where she was going from the plane, she had never flown in a blizzard, and there was a blizzard, and then when she got out, there was snow, and she's like, not really, she knew what it was, but she was being funny, what's this in my shoe, because she had her shoes were filling up with snow, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of funny.
I have seen plenty of snow because I'm from originally more up North Texas, Texas-Oklahoma border. So, you know, tornado alley and ice and snow. We get a little bit of everything there. So, yeah, I have plenty of time.
I traveled
to get out here when I moved here, too.
I know that there are different parts of Texas. They have different weather patterns, I know, but most of the people that I know, I mean, I know some that have seen snow, but most of the people that I know that have been in Texas and didn't really venture out very far from Texas have never seen snow, and I'm like, yeah, come over here, you'll see lots of snow.
Wow, yeah, that's true. That's so crazy to me, though. I still can't even imagine, you know, like I said. They're probably from, like, South Texas, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Texas is its own country anyway.
Pretty much. Now, I want to keep going. Not that I'm trying to cut you off. I hope you didn't take it that way. Because I did want to get back into the... your films. So I'm glad that was such a good experience for you, your debut into directing. And now I'm going to move on to 2018. And obviously I picked this one because it's a big name movie, Bird Box. So tell us about working on that.
So very similar to what my experience was on Olympus Has Fallen, because as you see, I'm uncredited.
Right. I still wanted to hear it, though.
Yeah, it was actually really, really cool because I'm such a huge Sandy Bullock and Sarah Paulson, you know, fan, and have been, you know, for just years, especially, you know, Sandra Bullock, you know, because she's been around for so long. I actually met her many, many moons ago before I started acting at a club in Austin. And on New Year's Eve party. And so it was just absolutely surreal and crazy to me. And how I got in on that deal was being a nurse. They wanted someone who was a real nurse, and, you know, was at least SAG-E. They preferred SAG, and I didn't join. I was SAG-E, but I had a lot of nursing experience. I had a lot of SET experience, and I put a little comment in when I submitted. By the way, I've met Sandra Bullock. it was just a random thing, and I got brought in, and again, you know, my scene didn't make it, but I was in with Sarah Paulson and Sandra Bullock and the doctor, the female doctor, and I'm not sure if I'm incorrect, if she's Indian, I'm not sure what she is, but I was in a scene in there, and it didn't, that scene is not even in the movie. But I played a nurse. I was on the bridge with the chick that's like flipping out, banging her head, or whatever it was she was doing. It's been so long since I've seen it, but it was cool. You know, it was cool to be there around. You know, the cast was amazing, and it was just a cool experience to see, especially that bridge scene. That was intense. That was just the screaming and the yelling. It was crazy. But other than that, I really kind of sat around a lot on that. And that was one very, very long day of filming. And then that was kind of the end of it. And I did say, you know, to her, hey, you know, real quick, I met you in Texas at so-and-so place back when you were dating so-and-so. And she was like, oh my God. You know, so she was super, super sweet, super nice. I didn't really say anything to Sarah Paulson other than hi, you know, and that was about it. like I said, it was still cool, you know, just like many, many people who are super successful to be from this little small town in Texas and, you know, to have already, you know, had children and be a nurse and do the things I've done, to be in this whole other lifestyle and to just think, wow, you know, even to be on screen for 1 minute or even to be sitting here right now doing this interview with you and to say that I had that experience, you know, it's like I try to teach my kids, you know, things are not about, don't be materialistic. And you know, it's not about how much money we have. It's about the memories we build. So instead of buying you something, I would rather take you on this little vacation, you know, or let's go see this or whatever. So to me, life is more about memories and life is more about experiences. So although I don't have, you know, the credit and I don't have, you know, oh, wow, everyone saw you in this, I still have the memories and I still have the experience. And I, you know, and like right now, you know, I'm sharing that with you and I'm sharing that with all of the listeners. So to me, that is just priceless, you know?
Yeah. Now, I wanted to move on. If you were done, I don't want to presume
I'm
that
done.
You're done.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. I'm done.
just simply because we've only got like 20 minutes left. And it's actually quite a bit, but I wanted to make sure that I got to some of these ones that you had mentioned that you wanted to talk about. So there's three different movies that you just signed on to. Now, the first one that I wanted to ask about is actually one that I know several people that are working on it, Z Dead End. So tell us about that, whatever you can tell us.
Okay, so... So, yeah, this script is, you know, I'm getting where I'm pretty, pretty picky about scripts, you know, because I feel like I'm kind of at a point where I do say no to projects quite often. I did know that there were several of my friends that were attached to this project. It, you know, I had seen things like from the Indiegogo float across, you know, my social media and things like that. And then one of my friends went on as an executive producer, and they, you know, I just all kind of reached out to me, the writer, the executive producer, director, and another executive producer actually, you know, reached out to me, and I don't think each knew the other did, or a couple of them I know didn't, and they said, hey, you know, we wanted to talk to you about this film, you know, that we have going on. And you know, they came to me for a couple of things. We talked about the producer thing and we talked about, you know, a role as well. And where we are at this point is I've signed on for a role, and I'm really, really excited about it because, again, the script is so good, and has mm-hmm. so much potential to be something so big, and especially with this incredible cast, you know, that is attached to this film, many of whom,
right.
you know, are friends of mine. And that was one of the thing, you know, with Stephen Rears and Robert Restor as well, was it was they had certain people in mind for some of those roles. And when I read it, I was like, you know, I got all excited. I was like, well, who's this role and who's that role? Because I didn't see it on IMDb. And then I actually helped them get, you know, a couple of the people that they wanted. So they've now filled mm-hmm. roles with a couple of other really good name characters, which they actually announced, I think, last week or the week before. So we're, you know, we're still tossing around some other things, but I am officially signed on as an actress and may be involved on the producing side as well, because we've also discussed where filming will take place. I've suggested we take this to Texas because I feel like I have access to amazing locations, and I would love to make a movie that I think can be as big as this movie in Texas. You know, using using some of the Texas crew, the Texas talent, and you know, all those main roles are LA people, but. You know, just having access to the locations that we need. And again, we don't know that we're not filming in Los Angeles. And I may not have, you know, any say in that. That's just where we're at now. But the role itself, I play a deputy in it. And it's the kind of role that I've been wanting to do because so many of the roles I've done are more glam or kind of silly or, you know, the typical screen queen, which have all been fun. I've had a blast with all of them. But, you know, to be on camera and play a role where, you know, my hair's in a ponytail or my hair's in a bun and I don't have a ton of makeup on. And honestly, I'm looking forward to that as well. You know, where people mm-hmm. see me more of how I am every day, you know, more plain and not glammed up. And it's a great role. It's a great role. It's a great great script, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, me too. It just, simply because I know so many people involved, you know, including mm-hmm. yourself.
Yeah.
Now, I want to make sure that we get to some more of these too, so I hope you were done.
I'm done. Go for it.
Okay. I just don't want to. It, you know, and if you're not done, you can always say, "Well, no, I wasn't done," and then finish. You know, I'm not proud. I can be told that. But we'll move on now to Swamp Marsh. So tell us about that one.
Okay, so Swamp Marsh, I am so stinking proud of my friends Matt Leal and Matthew Fessel and Alexis. They have put this together from an idea to a script to this Indiegogo, which is doing great. And we talked a little bit back and forth because I wanted to be involved. We had talked many, many months ago when we worked on a different movie together that we actually shot the scenes at my house, that we knew we wanted to work together again. And I had even asked them to work on a project of mine that we still have not gotten to shoot because I got busy and they got busy. But in this script or in this film, I play actually Dave Sheridan's campaign manager. So I get to act with Dave Sheridan and Lou Temple as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I've met Dave. I know Dave. I have not met Lou, but I've done movies that Dave was in, but I've not actually got to act in any scenes with Dave. And so I'm super, super excited. And, you know, when we were kind of tossing around ideas, they were like, so what exactly do you want to do? Because we're still kind of writing and doing rewrites and things like that. And I said, well, you know, I'd have a lot of fun if I got to actually like be on camera with Dave, you know? That would be fun, you know. And so that they said, you know, we have some ideas, and that's kind of where we're at. So that's what I'm doing on that. And then they asked me to come on board and also help executive produce. So I'm doing that as well.
Cool. All right. And then what about the next one that you were telling me about, the Appetite for Sin?
Okay. So Appetite for Sin is a very, very strong female cast of vampires. And I play one of the main group of vampires, Caroline. It is executive produced by, Joseph Kelly. He is one of the executive producers. The writer-director is Matthew Vanejo, and I hope I said Matthew's name correctly. He'll kill me if I didn't. But he is the sweetest, the most generous, the most down-to-earth person. And we just finished shooting a week of the things that we could shoot because, you know, we're dealing with COVID. And I was on set the days I could be on set that I wasn't working on another project because I did COVID compliance for them. I was on set a couple of those days, but my acting, this is, you know, a strange time with COVID for all of us filming. So basically we shot part of it and then we won't shoot the rest of it until March. So all
right.
of the big, because of all the vampire things, you know, the things that go along with being the vampire, all of the special effects and the biting and the things like that, we can't do those things with COVID going on.
Right.
So we shot, you know, basically what could be shot, we shot last week, and then we will come back in March is the plan to shoot the rest of that. But all three of these that we're discussing, Z-Dead End, Shadow Marsh, and Appetite for Sin, all still have Indiegogos going as well. So if people will check those out on Indiegogo and help us out, you know, help us get the funds. Movies aren't cheap. It's not cheap to feed people. Then that would be great as well. And all of these people really deserve a little help. And I know times are hard, but these are really good scripts that have all of three of these projects have great cast as well. So we want them to be everything that they can be. We don't have to want to rush to get them done because we don't have the budget to, you know, spend a little more time doing a certain scene or set something up the right way, you know.
Right.
Oh,
exactly.
And another thing really quickly I want to add is that we have Joe Castro doing special effects, you know, all the, you know, like makeup and, you know, all the creature-y stuff. Like, Joe Castro is amazing. And so we have him.
Oh, I know.
Yes, so Joe Castro is in on these projects as well, and so is Steven Escobar is also executive producing, I just went blank, Z-Dead End. So, again, you know, these people are my friends. These people are so talented. They're people I learn from, and I love watching them work, and they're involved as well, so you know that everything is going to look top-notch.
Right. Yeah, anything with Joe Castro. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's a lot.
Exactly, yeah. Now, what about the Devil's Heist? That's
okay,
one that
so
you
the
mentioned.
Devil, and, yeah, so
go
the
ahead.
Devil's Heist, it was kind of a really crazy thing to fall into. I don't even remember how I actually fell into it. It might have been Mike Ferguson. I don't even remember how it started, but it was literally most of the movie shot in Mexicali. And then the rest of it, we shot, I can't remember the name of the town. It's somewhere around Palm Springs. It might've been Palm Springs or Palm Desert, but it was I came in for one day, I think it was. And, you know, I played Lilith, you know, not Lucifer's wife. And I had so much fun because I had this cool special effects makeup and, you know, these little horns, and I had, you know, the leather corset, and I was, you know, very powerful. And it wasn't, you know, that Lucifer had the power. Lilith had the power over Lucifer. And so it was literally, I walk in and, you know, we sat around till it was time for us to film. And I did my scene and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. And instantly Mike Ferguson and I had such great chemistry on screen, and we both knew it, and everyone on that set knew it, and everyone came up afterwards and was like, oh my God, I have chills. Oh my God, where did you come from? Like, that was so good. That was intense. And it, we just, I feel like, you know, that scene just knocked it out of the park. And so Midnight Releasing picked it up. I think the release date's December 8th. So it's about to be out on pretty much everywhere. And they've done a great job with promotion, you know, promoting it. I have a lot of interviews set up for that. We're getting a lot of press. We've got Dread Central and some other things that are going to be covering it. So, yeah, so that one's literally coming out, like I said, I think December 8th.
Wow. Cool.
And then from that, Mike Ferguson and I have worked together, I can't even count how many times, at least I think 6 times we've played opposite from one another. So, and we've become really good friends since then. So it's, you know, kind of like, if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of thing.
Right.
It really,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
works. And so we love working together. And the director, Brian Sapphire, who also wrote it, he knew that we all really liked one another and we all really liked working together. So we have continued a relationship with him. And we have another feature that will have a much better budget. And the screenplay, which Brian wrote, has already started winning awards for best screenplay. And it's called La Chusa. And Mike and I will both be in that as well. And then we're in early pre-production on that one.
Oh, wow. Cool. very cool. Very cool news. Okay, now there's one movie that I want to go over. We've only got, actually it's less than 8 minutes, probably 7.5 minutes. But
okay,
there's one that I wanted to go over, and you can, like, just talk about it for a minute, and so that you can talk about the things you're directing in 2021. excuse me. Clown Motel 2, which I believe is still filming. I had Dave Bailey on the show on October 10th, and he said that the film probably is going to be ready on April 17th. And you were set medic and actress. So tell us something about that for maybe a minute or two.
Okay, so that was also executive produced and directed and written by Joseph Kelly, who is also, you know, executive producer on Appetite for Sin. So, you know, I saw the first Clown Motel and I thought it was really fun to watch. And through networking, you know, met Dave and met Joseph, and they were doing, you know, a second. I kind of joked, oh, you know, you want me in your next one or, you know, whatever. And it just kind of took off from there. And it was kind of the same deal, you know, it was kind of like, well, what would you want to do, you know, and kind of thing. And I said, you know, the same thing I just told you, like, I want to do something, I'm not all made up. Like, I want to do something where people get to see a different side of me, which is actually more me. I mean, I like to get made up, but I, you know, something that's like one of the military people, you know, or a set or a military medic. And so that's basically what the character became. So, you know, I'm in the military, you know, get up, and I am basically, you know, a medic in the military is what I play in it. And it was pretty cool. You know, we shot at, you know, very, very cool locations. We shot at the actual Clown Motel in Tonopah, Nevada, with the big cemetery out there, which was really creepy. And then we shot at, you know, and at the caves at Nelson Ghost Town, and which was just really cool. And then as far as, you know, set medic, and I did COVID as well. That was just, you know, there were a lot of stunts and there were a lot of elements with the heat and things like that that we had to deal with shooting in Nevada. So it was kind of like just being aware, being, you know, watching what was going on, if anyone got hurt during stunts and things like that. It was long hours. It was pretty intense, but, you know, it was a good experience to get to play a different kind of character.
Okay. Now, we've got less than 5 minutes, but you do have time to tell us, you know, however you want to put it together, if you just want to talk about one or if you want to just name several that you're directing, however you want to put it together, talk about whatever directing in 2021.
Okay. So the plan, which the plan changes, the plan is to get out before anyone was really doing anthologies like they are now. My plan was to try to get an anthology together because to me, financially, that made more sense. And for a new director, I thought that made more sense. And then also getting to make short films and kind of put them through film festivals to see how they're received before I package them all together as a feature, you know, onto a DVD and things like that. Well, what happened was I had all of these people who were already putting anthologies together that wanted them from different filmmakers that were already coming to me that had seen Hair of the Dog or that had heard of me. So what happened was they were like, I'm telling you, I love Hair of the Dog, but we want something like this. Are you doing anything like this? And it happened to be that I already had gotten over a couple of years, I had been pulling scripts together that I wanted to shoot. And so I have Drained that we'll shoot, that Joe Castro is actually doing the special effects makeup on that. And he built my creature as well. I have Amber Alert, that has Felissa Rhodes and Robert Mueve. So those will be the first two that I want to get out. And then I will be the first feature I will be directing is called With Child, which is the script that I actually optioned from Jeff. And again, like I was speaking of Z Dead Inn, I absolutely love the script. It's the first script I've optioned. And when I read it, I was like, you know, I was brought on as an actor and it just kind of grew and grew and grew. And then it was like, I want to direct this. Like, I want to do it all myself. And then, like I said, I optioned the script. So that will be the feature that I'm directing. So we'll kick out a couple of the shorts and then I'm going to do the feature. And then I'll probably come back and finish the last couple of short films after that. And each short film that I'm directing, they are horror, but they are all a different subgenre of horror. So, like, one of them is a haunting kind of thing, and then another one is, you know, your creature story, and another one is vampires, and another one is possession. So I have all of the scripts, and I have all of the cast lined up, but each one is entirely, and I really feel like the way we're doing these, I mean, I know everything's been done, but I haven't seen the things done the way I plan on doing them. I'm sure they've been done, but I've not seen them myself. For me, I we did tweaks in the stories because I like twist endings, psychological thrillers. So everything I have is not, you're not going to be able to follow from, you know, A, B, C, D and be done. There's going to be back and forth, kind of like what I did with Hair of the Dog. You know, it kind of takes you back and forth because I feel like when I watch movies or when I watch television shows, those are the things that hold my interest. I want to be wondering what's going on. I want to see something that is going to stay with me later where I'm going to be thinking about, wow, how did they do that? Or, you know, not from even a director or actor standpoint, but just the story itself, like, you know, damn, I can't unsee that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Really messed up thing to say.
Well, believe it or not, we're like at the end of the show. We've only got like about 40 seconds. And so normally I ask this sooner, but I didn't want to interrupt you while you were talking. I'll just go ahead and say it for you. That my guest is Sherry Davis, and it's spelled S-H-E-R-I Davis. And if you look her up on Facebook, you should be able to contact her, if that's okay with you, Sherry.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to make that as short as I could because now we've got 10 seconds. So anything
okay.
you want to say in closing?
No. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate your time and I appreciate everyone that's listening. Be sure to check out our Indiegogos and what I'm doing on IMDb or on my social media. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Sherry. And stay safe and have a good night. Goodbye.
You too. Thank you so much for having me. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.